Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fauci got it wrong on masks. How do we know this now? Not because I say so, not because you may have thought he was wrong, but we now have been told that, quote, face masks made little to no difference in preventing the spread of COVID. Scientific review now finds. Now, before I get into the CDC and how big they screwed this up, again, little to no difference in preventing the spread of COVID, these masks, I also want to tell you about another story that's breaking, and I'm going to get to this later, but I wanted to let you know I'm not overlooking this. The ex-Intel chief, James Clapper, has now been ripped for changing his tune on the Hunter Biden laptop. Now, he is angry. James Clapper attacking Politico, saying they deliberately, quote, distorted the letter that flagged Hunter Biden laptop as Russian disinformation by those 50-plus signees in the intelligence community. I will deal with this story in a moment, okay? So, again, this is obviously very big breaking news. Now, before we deal with that, let's go back to the tape. Let's go back to the headline that we have, all right? Little to no difference, these masks and the spread of COVID. All right, well, let's go to a guy by the name of Dr. Fauci. What did Dr. Fauci say about these masks? Here is Dr. Fauci back in 2020, right before Christmas.
Well, first thing, it's not going to be like turning a light switch on and off. It's not going to be overnight. It's going to be gradual. And I think we will know when we see the level of infection in the country at a dramatically lower level than it is right now, that we can start gradually tiptoeing towards normality. I don't believe we're going to be able to throw the masks away and forget about physical separation and congregate settings for a while, probably likely until we get into the late fall and early next winter. But I think we can do it.
Wow. That's not what they just said today, is it? Face masks made little to no difference. Now, was Dr. Fauci willing to listen to anybody else? Absolutely not. Dr. Fauci, again, on CNN. This was several months later, actually a year later, when he said this in 2021. This was in September of last year.
You know, there's the immediate thing that one can do, and that is in mitigation. For example, mask wearing, particularly among, I mean, obviously those people who are not vaccinated should be wearing a mask. But in indoor settings, when you're in an area, which is almost the entire country, in which there's a high degree of viral dynamics, you should wear a mask. We need to do that. That's the immediate thing that one needs to do. Avoid congregate settings, particularly indoor. But in the intermediate and longer term, it's going to be vaccines that are going to solve this problem, Wolf.
This was in 2021, just last September, when he said that. Now, he also continued to go out there and say over and over and over and over again, you must wear a mask. Dr. Fauci said he wears a mask in public is a symbol. Remember, a symbol that he cares about you. This was back in 2020 in the summer.
Now,
understood. Okay, as you know, all 50 states are opening to some degree, some variants within that, but taking steps across the country. As they open, wearing masks is recommended for people to help reduce the spread. In your view, does it make a difference to encourage that when public servants set an example by wearing a mask, as you often do when you appear in public?
Now, notice, this is a symbolic thing now, right? They're not even saying this is based in science. Well, it's a symbolic thing that leaders do, right? This is all about, well, you need to be a leader. You need to understand what it means to be a leader. This is how you become a leader. And if you are a leader, you wear a mask as a symbolic reason. So we were already changing the science in 2020, but then we went back to, no, it's saving lives later in 2020 and then all the way through 2021. And now, again, I go back before you hear Fauci push this propaganda to the newest headline. Quote, face masks made little to no difference in preventing the spread of COVID, scientific review finds. Now, I'm going to give you the details of how they found this in a second. But again, Dr. Fauci saying it's symbolic that you're a leader to wear the mask.
Well, Jim, I think we certainly should be recommending it. I mean, as you know, I wear it whenever I'm outside, we can try and keep the usual distance, but sometimes it's out of your control. So there are some fundamental things that we can do. We're very aware of and sensitive to the need to try and make those steps towards reopening. But there are certain things that you can do and still do as you're reopening. One of them is wearing a mask. The other is avoiding crowds of more than 10 people, depending upon where you are and where the dynamics of the outbreak are. The other is continuing to wash your hands, which is important. You know, and those kinds of things are simple. They're easy to do. And I think one can do that at the same time as you're gradually trying to get to the point of doing a reopening. And I think those are the things that everybody should seriously consider doing.
Do you think when folks, members of the public are being asked to do this and they look at folks like you doing it, does that encourage its use to a positive degree?
No, it does, Jim. And I mean, I wear it for the reason that I believe it is effective. It's not 100% effective. I mean, it's sort of respect for another person and have that other person respect you. You wear a mask, they wear a mask, you protect each other. I mean, I do it when I'm in the public for the reasons that, A, I want to protect myself and protect others, and also because I want to make it be a symbol for people to see that that's the kind of thing you should be doing.
Yes, it's symbolic, right? You need to do this for symbolic reasons. It's important. So let's go back to the study now. The stance by the CDC on face masks has taken many twists and turns throughout the COVID pandemic. After initially claiming face coverings weren't necessary, the CDC then changed course in April of 2020, calling on all Americans, even children as young as 2 years old, to mask up. That's when the horrific videos started being published of kids who were being kicked off of flights, two-year-olds, because they wouldn't wear, quote, their mask properly. Remember that? That's when people actually got on the do not fly list of airlines because they couldn't control a two-year-old with a mask, which was also absurd. That September of 2020, the CDC director said during a Senate hearing that, quote, face masks are the most important, powerful health tool we have, even suggesting that they might offer more protection than vaccines. Those recommendations likely played a large part in 39 U.S. states enacting mask mandates. Now, a scientific review suggests that widespread masking may have done little or nothing to curb the transmission of COVID-19 in the U.S. and around the world. The review, titled Physical Interventions to Interrupt or Reduce the Spread of Respiratory Viruses, was led by 12 top researchers coming from esteemed universities around the world. It was published this last week, and the review dug into the findings of 78 randomized controlled trials to determine whether physical interventions, including face masks and hand washing, lessen the spread of respiratory viruses. When comparing the use of medical and surgical masks to wearing no mask, the review found that wearing a mask may make little to no difference in how many people caught a flu-like illness, COVID-like illness. Nine studies, 276,917 people. That's a lot. It's a large sample size. And probably make little or no difference in how many people have COVID or the flu confirmed by a laboratory test. The six studies had 13,919 people. Again, this is a significant sample size. Next, the review compared medical / surgical masks to N95 respirators or P2 respirators, which are used in Europe. It found that wearing an N95 / P2 respiratory probably makes, again, listen carefully, little to no difference in how many people have confirmed flu. Five studies, 8,407 people were in that study. Again, large sample size. And may make little to no difference, these are the N95 mask, and how many people catch a flu-like illness. There were five different studies, 8,407 people. Or respiratory illness. There were three studies involved with that, 7,799 people. And I keep giving you the number of participants because it's important you understand how large these sample sizes were coming from the best research universities in the world. These 78 studies looked at participants from countries of all income levels. Data was gathered during the H1N1 flu pandemic in 2009, non-epidemic flu seasons, epidemic flu seasons up to 2016, and the COVID-19 pandemic, the study authors wrote. So how did we get it so wrong? Could it be because we had a psycho that wanted total power over you and was obsessed with wearing masks, you wearing masks, telling you that a mask, wearing a mask is a symbol? And it is important that you have that symbol. Never forget, Dr. Fauci made it clear that if you love people, you would wear a mask. Now, before I get into more of that, I want to tell you about our friends over at Patriot Mobile real quick. If you've got a cell phone, then you need to make the switch to the only Christian conservative cell phone coming to the U.S. Why? Because when you pay your bill and every time you make a phone call or send a text message, you're supporting conservative Christian causes that you believe in. If you are fed up with woke companies that don't care about your values, then stand with a company that actually does. Make the switch today. You're going to get a free month of service plus free activation with Patriot Mobile. Patriot Mobile is America's only conservative wireless provider. They use the same towers that you're on right now. You get to keep your same phone many times and your same phone number. Plus, they defend and protect our First and Second Amendment rights. They also make sure they stand up for the unborn. They offer nationwide coverage and they are an amazing company. When you pay your bill, you are supporting what you believe in. Now, right now, you can try Patriot Mobile for 2 months and get your third month free. Plus, get free activation. Just go to patriotmobile.com/Ferguson. So just go to patriotmobile.com/Ferguson. Or call them 878-PATRIOT. That's 878-PATRIOT. Or online at patriotmobile.com/Ben. That's patriotmobile.com/Ben. Now, Fauci. Why did Dr. Fauci continue to go on TV and advocating with the NIH board behind him as America's top doctor, the highest paid federal employee? Why did he keep going on TV and advocating for mask mandates? I'll tell you why. It was for total power.
We have control of this. We can do things that could turn that around.
So I understand, you don't want to wade into politics, but masks are not political, right? They shouldn't be political, right? And we see the president at these rallies and people don't wear masks. And Joe Biden does have a really different plan, right? And today he talked about it, and he specifically talked about making mask wearing mandatory. Here's how he put it.
First, I'll go to every governor, urge them to mandate mask wearing in their states. And if they refuse, I'll go to the mayors and county executives and get local masking requirements in place nationwide.
He also wants to make masks mandatory federal buildings, interstate transportation. Do you think this is a good idea? Is this what a president of the United States would be helpful if they were doing, fighting for mask mandates?
Well, you know, one of the issues that people that talk about mandating not be a good idea, because then they'll say they have to enforce it and there's going to be a difficulty enforcing it. But if everyone agrees that this is something that's important and they mandate it and everybody pulls together and say, you know, we're going to mandate it, but let's just do it. I think that would be a great idea to have everybody do it uniformly. One of the issues, though, I get the argument, say, well, if you mandate a mask, then you're going to have to enforce it, and that'll create more of a problem. Well, if people are not wearing masks, then maybe we should be mandating it.
So in other words, but it sounds like what you're saying is sort of the power of the commons, that you're going to have some people who don't wear them. You only need to have a certain amount, and a mandate could get you there.
Right.
Even if you don't have enforcement, right?
Right.
So,
right, exactly.
Okay, so when...
This was a total psychopath that was obsessed with undermining Donald Trump. Remember, he was supposed to be serving under Donald Trump. He's obviously advocating at that moment and supporting Joe Biden's run for the presidency, saying it's going to save lives. He's in favor of mask mandates. He was advocating for the policy that was clearly just stated right there, right? He was advocating for the policy of the administration of Joe Biden. Joe Biden's out there saying, I'm in favor of mask mandates, and if governors won't do it, I'll go around them. I'll go to the late state and local officials, right? I'll go to the local health guys and tell them to do the mask mandates, and we're going to get this thing done. And that's what Democrats did all over the country. That's what they were advocating for. All right, let's go back to the study. The new findings seem to call into question the CDC's enthusiastic embrace of widespread masking. Dr. Mark Siegel, professor of medicine at NYU and a Fox News medical contributor, pointed out a key limitation, saying the researchers focus primarily on randomized trials, but most of the studies have been done on masks are population studies. There are very few randomized trials on masks. He said in a randomized trial, researchers place participants in different groups and observe the results in controlled environments. He said, by contrast, population-based studies measure outcome in a real-world setting. So again, he's even trying to give some benefit of the doubt that, okay, maybe it had a little bit of an impact. So what did the study authors say? The study authors did admit to some limitations and risk of bias, including the low number of people who followed mask guidance and the wide variations of outcomes, saying the results might change when further evidence becomes available. However, if you're going to mandate something, you'd have to be sure of consistency across the population, and that's never happened. So that's the problem. Physicians also pointed out that the CDC never actually mandated masks, with the exception of public transportation mandates in January of 2020 on planes. It was a state and local authorities that took the CDC recommendations and implemented the mandates. The recommendations may have been wrong, but the CDC doesn't deserve the blame for everything. I think they were aware that masks may have value on a personal basis, but they got carried away with the politics, quote unquote. And just so you know how psycho the left is, as of right now, there are no U.S. states that have mask mandates in place. However, on Sunday, New York City finally, this just happened on Sunday, dropped its statewide mask mandate in hospitals, leaving the decision up to the individual facilities. And many healthcare facilities are currently still requiring them in hospitals. Many believe so that you'll just feel safer and it's a warm hug when you walk in from your hot breath coming back in your face. Now, again, I'm all in favor of following the science. But what we learn now is for 3+ years, you had an obsession by these psychopaths to force you to wear a mask no matter what, to tell you that if you didn't wear a mask, that you were basically killing people. And when states dropped their mask mandates, what did Dr. Fauci say? He said, you're inviting another surge, condemning those states. Listen carefully.
When you see Texas lifting its mask mandates, when you see pictures from Idaho of kids burning masks and the same being called for in Texas, what's your reaction to that?
You know, it's concern, John. I mean, we understand people's need to get back to normal, and we are going in that direction. But when you start doing things like completely putting aside all public health measures as if you're turning a light switch off, that's quite risky. We don't want to see another surge, and that's inviting one when you do that.
It's inviting a surge, right? You're stupid to burn those masks. You're stupid to stand up and to act like you are above wearing a mask. He also continued to attack Texas, dropping despite the, you know, he was saying, how dare you do this? Listen to Texas. This was after the numbers started to come in, and Fauci on the Texas number said this.
It's back to life. And if you go to Texas, as you know, it looks like 2019. The restaurants and the bars are full and open. The ballparks are full. And yet we've seen cases and hospitalizations since then continue to tick downward. So what do you make of that as all of us look around and sort of try to consider how safe it is to get back to normal life?
Yeah, you know, it can be confusing because you may see a lag and a delay, because often you have to wait a few weeks before you see the effect of what you're doing right now. You know, there are a lot of things that go into that. I mean, when you say that they've had a lot of activity on the outside, like ball games, I'm not really quite sure. It could be they're doing things outdoors. You know, it's very difficult to just one-on-one compare that. You just have to see in the long range. I hope they continue to tick down. If they do, that would be great. But there's always the concern when you pull back on methods, particularly things like indoor dining and bars that are crowded, you can see a delay and then all of a sudden tick right back up.
I love how this was described by Fauci there, right, on these Texas numbers. He's basically angry that Texas defied him and Texas opened back up early and took the mask mandates off early. And what happened when that happened? He didn't like it, and they were furious that they were being proven wrong in real time. You could hear it there on MSNBC. The numbers are down. Things are better. Things are going well. It's happening, right? All these things are good. Well, but we hope it goes out, but it may backfire on them. You notice how Fauci and all these others are refusing to admit they were wrong? And I think that's incredibly stupid. And the reason why I say I think that's very stupid is for this reason. There is going to be another public health emergency, and when it happens, no one's going to listen to the public health authorities because they're never going to believe them. And they're going to think that they are totally full of crap. That's what's going to happen, folks. It's going to happen. All right, I'm going to tell you more about this in a second, but I do need to tell you about our friends at Augusta Precious Metals. If you've been saving for a long time for retirement, you know that you need to protect your money. And one way to do that is with a gold IRA. I'm excited about telling you about a company that I actually use. I have actually worked with Augusta Precious Metals. They are different because they will even tell you if a gold IRA isn't your answer. They give you just the facts. Now, Augusta Precious Metal is all about protecting your IRA and your 401k. They're great people, a great conservative company. They're great people at a great conservative company. They understand right now that it's crazy with our economy, and it's extremely important, especially if you're close to retirement, to protect your assets because there's no time to make up losses. So if you've saved $100,000 or more, then you should take a look at their free guide, and you should really sign up for something that I've done. It's a web conference where you talk to a top individual about gold IRAs and your 401k. Check them out and get the peace of mind that you're protecting your hard-earned assets when you get really close to retirement. 877-4, the number 4, Gold IRA. 877-4, Gold IRA. Or visit them online at AugustaPreciousMetals.com. Say I sent you, and they will pay your fees for up to 10 years. That's AugustaPreciousMetals.com, 877-4, Gold IRA.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
Stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
All right, I want to get to the other story that I promised you that deals with Hunter Biden. And we've got new intel coming out on Hunter Biden. James Clapper has come out, and he's furious right now. He's the ex-intel chief who is has been ripped over the last 24 hours for changing the Hunter Biden laptop tune. He is not happy, folks. Former director of National Intelligence, James Clapper, all right, has been slammed for claiming that Politico, quote, deliberately distorted a letter he signed that characterized the New York Post reporting on the Hunter Biden laptop as part of a Russian disinformation operation days before the 2020 election. Now, Clapper wasn't alone. James Clapper and 50 other significant, very notable members of the intelligence community approved the letter questioning the veracity of the Post exclusive that they published in October of 2020 about the First Son's shady overseas business relationship. The letter was leaked to Politico, widely picked up by other national media outlets, and eventually used as campaign fodder by then presidential candidate Joe Biden. It was clear that the deep state turned on Donald Trump and they were going to give the cover needed to make sure that people didn't get to see the facts or read or share the story. We know the deep state went to work. We know that Twitter and Facebook limited the reach of the story and shut it down. We know all of this from the Twitter files and from Mark Zuckerberg at Facebook's own conversation that he had on this story about Facebook when he was on Joe Rogan's podcast. Now, James Clapper told the Washington Post this week, quote, there was message distortion in the initial reporting on the letter. This is what a scumbag deep stater would say. All we were doing was raising, quote, a yellow flag that this could be Russian disinformation. Politico, quote, deliberately distorted what we said. It was clear in paragraph 5, Clapper then said in this new mea culpa, trying to fix the narrative years after the fact. Journalists who have long criticized the letter weren't buying his explanation. Quote, if James Clapper knew Politico and the reporter Natasha Bertrand were lying about what their letter said, why didn't they say so then? Pulitzer Prize winner Glenn Greenwald posted on Twitter on Monday. There were others who said the story, again, if they had a problem with it, they should have told the truth. Here was another headline. Hunter Biden's story is Russian disinfo. Dozens of former intel officials say that was a headline. Has since moved on to CNN, the person who wrote that headline at the time, where she covers the White House with a focus on national security from Politico. So again, they're still lying to you. The reality, Greenwald continued, the CIA slash intelligence community people were lying. They were lying and they wanted the media to spread this lie. Only now that someone has to take the hit is Clapper saying Politico lied to you instead of them. Clapper's claim that he was, quote, unaware that Biden brought up the letter in his final debate with former President Donald Trump, called the Post story a bunch of garbage, also elicited skepticism about what he's now claiming. Quote, Clapper, of course, didn't complain about the Politico headline at the time. Even though Biden cited the distorted article during a debate with Trump, which Clapper laughably now claims he didn't know about. Really? You're the center of this whole entire controversy. You come out with this letter. You put it out in the media. There's the final debate. Remember, the debates changed because of COVID and all that crap and the masks. And so there's this final debate. Clearly, it comes up. And James Clapper like, oh, I didn't know it came up. I didn't know they talked about it. I didn't know they talked about my letter. I had no idea that they were distorting what I said. Biden also cited the letter in that 60 Minutes interview in October before the election, calling the report part of a smear campaign. Other media outlets also ran with a Politico story repeating the claims of Russian disinformation coming from Clapper and the other 50 individuals that signed the letter. In fact, Adam Schiff, then the chair of the House Intelligence Committee, seized on the Politico reporting in an interview that he also did about it on CNN, where he said, quote, well, we know that this whole smear on Joe Biden comes from the Kremlin. Clearly, the origins of this whole smear are from the Kremlin. He, again, reiterated at the same time in that interview. Greenwald blasted the media for transforming the claim by Clapper and others into fact, saying, quote, the CIA and other intelligence operative scumbags have a point here. One I've stressed from the start. In their letter to manipulate the election, they said they didn't know it was Russian disinformation. They just thought it was. It was, quote, the media that transformed it into fact, he said. I don't care who is bored by it. 2 weeks before Americans went to vote for president, the CIA and others in the intelligence community concocted an outright lie that most major media outlets and corporations spread. Everyone now knows it's a lie, but not one of the media outlets has retracted their story. Kash Patel, who worked in the Trump administration, told Fox News that the American public deserves an explanation from all of these news outlets. One, this Congress should subpoena at least the leadership structure of those 51 people. Those that served as directors and deputy directors of our intelligence agency and law enforcement community, and just say, why did you make this statement? Why did you sign this letter? What was the bait? Are you the former director of the CIA? Certainly someone sent you intelligence for you to sign on to this. And what was the intelligence? Who put the 50 people together? These are all basic questions that the media, quote, should be asking. They're not, though. Early this month, by the way, the House Judiciary and Intelligence Committees are now demanding interviews with James Clapper and 11 other letters that signed on to this. A fact noted by Senator Roger Marshall, a Republican, this week. Marshall wrote on Twitter, quote, in October of 2020, Politico used a letter signed by 50-plus former intel officials to label the Hunter Biden laptop story as Russian disinformation. Now, the Judiciary Committee Chairman Jim Jordan is requesting interviews, and letter signer James Clapper is changing his tune 2 years too late. That's the only reason why now he's trying to change all of this. Trying to act like, oh, they took me out of context. Oh, I didn't mean it that way. Oh, that was totally different than what I thought it was going to be. Let me remind you of what happened in October of 2020. In October of 2020, MSNBC led with this news story to make sure that you weren't bamboozled, right, by this intelligence. Here is part of that story from October of 2020.
50 former intelligence officials signed on to a letter yesterday saying that the New York Post story about Hunter Biden's emails has, quote, all of the classic earmarks of a Russian disinformation campaign.
And to me, this is just classic textbook Soviet-Russian tradecraft at work.
Rudy Giuliani was not fed passively Russian disinformation. He ordered it off the menu. He demanded it be brought to him.
The letter's signatories span four administrations, including the current one, and include former CIA directors John Brennan, Michael Hayden, and Leon Panetta.
So here you have a willing target, and the Russians, who are very sophisticated about how to exploit a willing target, And to me, that's what's at work here.
So this looks like Russian intelligence. This walks like Russian intelligence. This sounds like Russian intelligence.
That their collective national security experience makes them, quote, deeply suspicious that the Russian government played a significant role in this case and suggests that Russia is trying to influence how Americans vote in this election.
Do you think stuff like that could just have been planted in there and be completely fake?
I do.
Every intelligence professional I've been talking to, Mika, says this is a Russian intelligence disinformation campaign.
There it is, right? I mean, it's very clear. You had James Clapper voice that you heard in there, what, 3-4 times? They knew they were lying back then, and they knew they were trying to influence the outcome of an election back then. They knew that what they were doing was important. And the ex-intel chief, James Clapper, now saying, I'm mad as hell, they took me out of context. Bull crap. You knew that you were being used to win an election. You knew that your misinformation was going to alter the way that the media actually covered this story. You knew all of that, and you ran with it because you didn't want Donald Trump to stay president of the United States of America. You didn't want Donald Trump to be able to drain the swamp. That's what you did not want to happen here. Now, lastly, the most important point that I'm going to make is this. Congress needs to make sure they don't screw this up. Okay, Congress needs to really make sure that what they do is obvious. What they need to, what Congress needs to understand is they have an obligation now, in my opinion, they have a duty now to do their job the right way and to answer the questions the way that these questions need to be answered. They need to answer these questions as fast as they can. And they need to bring these people before Congress to answer those questions. All right, make sure that you share this podcast with your family and friends, okay? Share this podcast with them. Tell them about this podcast. Please hit that subscribe or auto download button, and I will see you back here tomorrow.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.